Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Flashcast, an unofficial podcast of the CW's The Flash. I'm Steven Bueno.
Cristian Cabrera.
If you're new to the podcast, what we do is discuss every week's episode of The Flash. So this week, we're going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 15, King Shark. There was a lot of information in this episode, man. And obviously, everyone's going to be like talking about the last like 15 seconds of the show because it was a big, big reveal. But before we get to the really, really juicy stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's get to what was happening throughout the episode and who the main villain was. Because obviously, from the title, off the bat, you know, it's King Shark, which is a really cool character who just got shot down in like the last couple of seconds of a previous episode. So now we finally see him. And honestly, I was interested in seeing how they would do it because, man, that's a lot of CG to go into one character.
Yeah, it's crazy like how they outfitted him. He's essentially a shark version of the Hulk. He has the freaking pants.
Yeah, the pants.
He has the pants on. And the craziest thing, too, they CGI'd him a belt on his pants. I thought it was hilarious, which is crazy.
Well, how else is he supposed to keep them on?
Exactly. And
one of the coolest things that I thought about the episode, while I was watching the episode, was the fact that, one of the reoccurring thoughts was street sharks. I just kept thinking, street sharks, man. Yeah. If they made a street shark movie, that's exactly what it would look like.
It's funny too, because when I was going through the credits of the people who did like the voices and stuff like that,
yeah,
the voice to King Shark actually surprised me when I found out who it was.
Who is it?
It's a David Hayter, and he is
really
yes, David Hayter. If those of you who don't know who he is one of the biggest voices that there was in gaming. He does the voice to Solid Snake and Big Boss from Metal Gear Solid 1 all the way to Metal Gear Solid 3. And that's one of the craziest things, too, when I first saw that. And apparently, same thing when he first appeared in the episode, it's the same voice actor as well.
Is actually pretty cool. I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either until like, I read through the credits. I was like, oh, what? David Hayter? Like, and honestly, I'm a giant Metal Gear Solid fan, so like that made my, like, oof, oh, God. Like, that
was exactly a huge fanboy moment.
Yeah, it was.
Side note, I got to actually meet David Hayter.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, and Games Done Live, we were doing some interview with him right before the show. So I got to meet him. He was a really cool guy.
Yeah, he's a chill dude. He's a super nerd too.
Yeah, he did. He did come across as one. He was really cool.
Yeah. So anyways,
back to the episode. Yeah. We have a couple little side stories here that were actually really good. So one of the side stories is Layla and Diggle. So we go to from this episode, we find out that Layla is now leading Argus, and she essentially took over Amanda Waller, which is, I believe, is something you had mentioned in the previous podcast, that's kind of the mantle she would take after Amanda Waller.
Yeah, I kind of figured that she was going to take it because she was the second in command, essentially, to Amanda Waller. She knew every secret. So there's no way that she can turn it down because, one, if they just put someone else, you never know, it might end up being the same as Amanda Waller. But the thing is, she knows so much more secrets and everything else, so they'd rather trust her than someone else.
It was interesting seeing Argus. Not the whole Arrow team, but just like the Argus element inside the Flash. And it almost lends itself to hopefully more episodes that involve Argus and the Suicide Squad. Because as I mentioned before, I really love those episodes in Arrow. And I would love to see something along those lines in the Flash. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, obviously the universe doesn't lend itself as much to it. But it would be pretty cool to see some of that in there. Or some of it like bleed through.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that too. Because majority of the times that you see anything dealing with Argus, you always would see there's always been some great episodes from that, and that's the take from Arrow though. But honestly, if we did Arrowcast, like I honestly think it'd be hilarious. We would actually would have talked a lot about it because Argus appears a lot in the Arrowverse.
You know what's cool about having the Diggle and the Layla character is that they can be a little more comedic in this universe, so it can be a little more lighthearted, and you kind of saw that through Diggle, where throughout the episodes he's still like impressed of how fast Barry is. He still hasn't really gotten used to metahumans, and even when he sees King Shark at the beginning of the episode, he's like, "Really? That's a thing that happens."
Well, they've encountered metahumans before. It's just the fact that of his stature, of how he looks like, that's a different one that he's used to.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't think, because like they encounter a lot of stuff in the, in Star City, and none of them really look like King Shark.
No.
They're it's more people, like just diabolical people. Mm-hmm. But having them in this universe definitely, it fit the mood, and the way they were written into the episode fit perfectly. So one of the things we do have throughout, another thing we do have throughout the episode is the interaction between Wally and Barry. And I guess we were all just kind of waiting to see how they interacted with one another, because essentially they're both Joe's son. Mm-hmm. And Wally's the new son and, you know, the biological son. But Barry is very near and dear to Joe's heart. And it would only make sense for them to interact at one point. Now, what do you think of the interaction there, man? Because for me, it was a little forced, in that you kind of, it would have been cool to see this relationship somewhat develop before all the stuff with Earth 2, because it just lent itself to unnecessary tension between the two characters, but there was some tension there that for me it didn't really do much for me.
I honestly saw this coming, essentially, because when I knew they were gonna get forced to interact with each other, because one, it's now he's now part of the whole entire West family is all together now, and of course they're gonna include Barry into it too, because like he's technically a member of their family too. He's been there since he was 11 years old, so of course there's gonna be interaction, but you can see that there's like a big conflict between them two, because it's essentially old son and new son, and new son's getting more attention than old son, but everyone's praising old son, and new son's pretty much backseat to the whole thing. And it's kind of bothering him.
I think the Wally character does definitely feel inferior mm-hmm. to an extent, because, yeah, you're right. They do praise Barry quite a lot. And even Barry throughout the episode kind of makes it a point to be like, hey, maybe you shouldn't talk so highly of me. Like, it sounds like a douche thing to say, but it makes sense within the context. Like, don't talk so highly of me mm-hmm. because maybe he feels like he's trying to live up to someone. It's almost like being in the shadow of an older brother. Yeah, I feel like that's, and it's funny because like Wally just kind of walked into that, mm-hmm. and you know what? This is the first episode that we see how intelligent Wally is, because it hasn't really been mentioned before. Mostly you see him in racing and stuff like that, mm-hmm. so it hasn't really been mentioned. And now you see him working on a biodiesel like supercar, essentially.
Mm-hmm. I always see that Wally West from the Justice League one, because he's kind of a dork.
Yeah.
And all he does is just speed, throws witty puns, and just like he always gets hurt a lot because he doesn't really think out a lot of his things. But this is a different side and actually showing a more smarter version of him, which is actually pretty good. Like, I honestly didn't think that they were going to go the whole approach of him being an actual nerd, as well, essentially, because one, he's into engineering, not only just any type of engineering, electrical engineering, to think about it too. Him creating that turbine. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it does show that he's super smart, man. And that, for me, it lends itself to him being around or serving a bigger role within that universe. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things we did see throughout the episode is he's starting to see how it feels to be part of that family. As the episode progresses, we do have King Shark finding Barry, or essentially tracking Barry down to his home, yeah. which is one of the first times that really happens, where Barry gets attacked in his own home. And, you know, Wally has this great line where it's like, okay, so the Flash showed up and there's a huge shark that busting through your house like the Kool-Aid Man, and you guys are okay with this? And to me, it just sort of seems like it's one of those instances where that character is going to start thinking, they're a little too cool with this. What's going on here?
Well, it's essentially what Iris said. It's like, well, we got used to it because since all these metahumans now started showing up, it's kind of the social norm now, which is crazy. And speaking of King Shark actually, let's see, this King Shark version that we're seeing is not from the main comic book series that came out, because from the main comic book series, his original name is Nanooa, which is Hawaiian for, I think it's like shark god. That's what it is. And this version that we're seeing is actually from the digital comics from Flash Season 0, which came out in the late 1990s. And his original appearance was 1994's Superboy Volume 4. This one, what we're seeing, is actually he's supposed to be a humanoid. So in other words, he's kind of a mutated shark that just turned into almost like humanized. But this one's a human that turned into a shark.
A street shark.
Which is weird. But this is from Earth 2, not from Earth 1. So,
Well, that's true. It's also from a different universe. Mm-hmm. Now, throughout the episode, we also see the interaction between Wells and his daughter, which I thought was one of the sweetest things to really see, because throughout the series, and even in his approach to, you know, Jay's death, and where Cisco and Barry are worried about Kaylin, he's like, look, Snow's strong. She's going to get over it. But he's still very stoic about everything. Mm-hmm. You never see him really be kind or tender, really. You do seem kind, but not necessarily tender towards anyone or sweet towards anyone. And this is the first time you see him, you know, working with Jesse, and you see, okay, you're obviously Wells' daughter, because you have a big, big mind to you, and you can serve a big role within, like, I guess, the battle to come, mm-hmm. which I think she'll be instrumental, because it does show that she's not necessarily at Wells' level, but somewhere near there, you know, mm-hmm. where she can be a huge asset.
I like that first scene that they had together, as when they're finally actually doing something on Earth One, where you see me just doing work. And then as soon as she comes in, it's like kind of fear, just like every time you're always doing work. And then that's when she starts pretty much pinpointing. He's like, oh, you're doing all this. You're doing all the formulas and everything else. And she knew exactly which formulas he was doing. And that's when she goes, well, you know, we could have do it this other way. And it'll probably be different. And he goes, you know what? Grab a marker and we'll do this.
We'll do something together.
Yeah.
I did like that. Mm-hmm. So this episode had a lot of side stories, because it also has a story between Caitlin and Cisco.
Cisco.
Where Cisco is kind of afraid that Caitlin will become cold and will turn into Killer Frost. Mm-hmm. Which, while it was serious, it did have its like comedic undertones. And I did find it interesting just how nervous Cisco was about the whole situation. And, you know, he wasn't talking about it because Wells had advised them to just kind of forget about what happened in Earth 2. Mm-hmm. I think it wasn't necessarily because it was beneficial for everyone, because let's face it, the secret was out. You know, eventually it just got out.
Yeah.
Like Cisco told Caitlin and Barry told Wes and told Joe and Iris. And it was one of those things where I think the only reason the Wells character did that was because he didn't want to think of everything he lost, because mm-hmm. he essentially lost every single thing in his life, with the exception of Jesse, which, I mean, I guess to an extent was okay, because she's his whole world.
Okay, this is where I do differ from you, which is great, which I like. Yes, they lost everything in this whole world, but you can also see the emotional toll that it took on both Barry and also Cisco.
Oh yeah.
So the thing is, them two, them not telling anybody, it kind of actually, it flipped everyone's emotional barriers upside down, because one, since they were acting differently, you can tell everyone was pretty much, that's even Caitlin was pretty much saying, you're acting weirder than you normally are. Like, I know something's wrong with you, and you need to tell me. Because or else, of course, she's already going nuts as it is. She's also grieving within, like, it's only been a day, and it's crazy too. And also Barry, him, as soon as he came back, what did the first thing he do? He ran. All he did was trying to run around, trying to find some crime, and just so he can try to cope with that. But as soon as he told, like, both, was it Joe and Iris what happened? Both Iris and freaking Joe were like, that's a lot that you had to deal with, and not telling us, like, I can see why you're actually the way you are right now, because we barely see you like that. And this is one of those few times where it shows that a hero has his burdens, and there's a lot of toll that he takes and stuff that he keeps to himself. And it, you can tell it devastates them and all around the people that he's always with. It shows that this is not you. So you're going through something that you're not telling us.
What's great is how they approach that. Although we kind of have seen that throughout most of the season.
Yeah.
Barry's been caring a whole lot more throughout this whole season mm-hmm. than he ever did in the first season.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's great because Diggle does kind of like tell him off the bat, hey, man, you're doing that thing that Ollie always does. You're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what Barry was doing. And it wasn't until he broke down and was talking to Joe and Iris where he was telling him, look, I couldn't save anyone. Like, Zoom came over here and just, you know, beat me, really beat me. And I can never fight against him. Mm-hmm. Not only could I not fight against him here, but even in Earth 2, it's like, I'm constantly letting people down and not being able to save anyone. Mm-hmm. When he tells Joe about his death and I couldn't do anything about it. And when he tells him pretty much like, we sentenced a whole dimension to death. mm-hmm. and a whole nother planet to death. And there was nothing I can do about it. And yeah, he is carrying the weight of the world, on his shoulders, because he feels like the blood of Earth 2 is on his hands mm-hmm. because he couldn't do anything about it. And that's a lot to carry, man.
It is.
And especially for a character like Barry Allen, it's like you're constantly given so much to feel guilty about. Now here's another one, you know, here's Jay, even, you know, the Jay character mm-hmm. that gets pretty much impaled at the end of the last episode and dragged into Earth 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he feels responsible for all of it, man. And it's really cool to see that, you know, the actor portray that aspect of the character.
Yeah, it's insane though, the amount of emotion that goes through Barry's head, and the same time
as
the
amount it's portrayed. I really genuinely love that scene.
It is. It's very heartfelt. You feel his pain too, just from actually watching the episode. And it's like, damn, like if I was holding this into, I probably would have broken down too.
Just lost it completely.
Oh yeah.
So as the episode progresses, we do finally see him confront Killer Shark and essentially beat him in this like really cool Jaws moment.
Yeah.
And I love, because the whole episode was riddled with Jaws
references.
I like, my favorite one was definitely Cisco.
The Quinn one?
Like, no, the one before that where he's like, we're going to need a bigger Flash.
Yeah.
As a quote of, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah. The Quinn one made me laugh too. It's like, I should be in there. I should be the Quinn. He's like, you know, Quinn dies, right? Because that was one of the main characters that ended up dying in the freaking movie as well.
So after that, we do have, I guess, you know, the biggest reveal. And I think what I talked about in the previous episode, our previous podcast, is Jay Garrick is Zoom.
Oh, man.
Or at least that face is Zoom.
Yeah.
Now, I'm still going to call it from right now. The man in the iron mask is not Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
It's Jay Garrick.
I actually do agree with you on that one, because I believe that's Jay Garrick as well. But I, like I was telling you too, I'm still skeptical about Zoom. Even though they did show a reveal that it is Zoom, that Zoom is Jay Garrick, I believe that this is exactly what I'm going through from last season too, because Reverse Flash almost did the exact same thing. Like, he took over someone else's body and state. So you can tell that type of technology exists. So he could also have that technology too, where he probably made duplicates of Jay Garrick and pretty much made himself Jay Garrick.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was like, I want to see. I'm definitely interested in seeing, because obviously he's carrying a body, which is the Jay Garrick that got impaled at the end of the episode. He takes off his mask. He's Jay Garrick. And I honestly think that the guy in the iron mask is Jay Garrick. Now, I want to say that the guy in the iron mask is the Jay Garrick from Earth 2. Like, that's
the original,
you know, Jay Garrick Prime.
Yeah, he's the original. That's what I'm thinking too.
And the body, I've like I said in the previous podcast, I feel like that's some sort of clone
mm-hmm.
that was utilized to get Caitlin to perfect her serum. Now, I think Zoom switched places with that clone from time to time
mm-hmm.
without him knowing, or he just kind of utilized them or used them as a puppet somehow. But
I do see, I can see that they would do this reveal now, which is actually a perfect timing to doing it. But I'm still sticking with that it's not that, you know, it is Jay Garrick, that you can see his face, it's Garrick. I'm still thinking it's not Jay Garrick, because they did reveal a main character as well who actually does portray Zoom as well, which is Hunter Zolomon. I think it's that's Hunter Zolomon as well. I think that's who it is, and he probably took a form of Jay Garrick, which is essentially pretty much switch bodies and killed the original Hunter Zolomon. That I'm thinking it is him.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be Hunter Zolomon. That's what I'm thinking, because it is Jay Garrick. But remember, this type of universe, it changes a lot of things, man. It changes a lot.
I honestly could see him being, you know, Jay from Earth 1.
Mm.
Because, yeah, you know, you have that name associated with him. Yeah. But then you do see the body and you're like, okay, so is this a clone? Is there an Earth 3? What's going on over here? Or maybe just like you said, like the way Yubarthon came back in time and used technology to imitate his face, it could very well be something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested in seeing. Obviously, we have to wait quite a while for all that stuff to come out and to really figure out what's going on here. Mm. And I'd like to think that, you know, it's going to be a little more involved than just Jay Garrick is the Man of the Iron Mask. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like everyone right now is sort of assuming that anyway.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see a wild card factor just thrown in there. Just like, oh, out of nowhere, it's just this other random character. Like, but at the same time, it's like, why would they cover his face if it isn't someone you already know?
That's true. Like I'm saying, it's probably just a big reveal for like another character, which they've already revealed a lot of characters. But like I said, we won't know for a while. That's the only downside. We won't know for a while.
We're going to have to keep coming back a month from now and then week after week. Because the season, you know, we have only got what? Well, we got like 10 more episodes. No,
we're on 15. So like 6-7 more episodes left, essentially. And it sucks, too, because they're actually doing a cut right now. So it won't be until like March 23rd is when the next episode comes around. So it's going to be a lot of downtime. And there's a lot of people going like, oh, my God, why did you stop here? Like, why? You should keep going.
I think it's the best way to stop in one of the one of the coolest reveals in The Flash so far, because the whole season we've been going like, who is this guy? What's going on here? And to finally see the face and now to be like, okay, here's where we're starting to speculate.
Yeah. It just sucks that they ended on this episode. And it's a good ending. But you're gonna piss off a lot of people now because you have to wait.
Oh yeah,
you have to really wait.
Show business, man. Gotta leave them wanting more.
Yeah. Oh god. I just know the season's gonna get crazier now because this is where you, always towards the end of the season it's gonna get insane.
It just ramps up,
and they did a good job with like this episode was a great way to actually end it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. All right, guys, thank you for listening to this episode of The Flashcast. If you guys want to check out more of the stuff we got going on, head on over to filmbook.com, that's film-book.com, and search for either Stephen Bueno or The Flashcast. If you guys are interested in checking out some of the stuff we do outside of Filmbook, you can check us out on YouTube by going to youtube.com/leagueofgents, that's G-E-N-T-S, or checking us out on Facebook by going to facebook.com/leagueofordinarygents, G-E-N-T-S. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast services, go ahead and rate and review this episode. If you listen to this podcast on YouTube, go ahead and hit that thumbs up video and leave a comment in the comment section. We definitely want to hear from you guys.